continue our praise unto his name on this first day of the week. We thank him so much for his love and for his mercy and for everything that he does for us in our lives. We are reminded of what Paul said to those in Athens on Mars Hill in Acts chapter 17, in verse number 28. He says, "It is in him that we live and we move and we have our being." We're also reminded what Jesus says concerning our need for him. In John chapter 15 in verse number 5, he says, "Without me, you could do nothing." So again, we're just so thankful for the rich blessings of God in our lives, how he is protecting us, how he is providing for us, how he is caring for us, and how he loved us in the giving of his son to die upon the cross. This evening, if you're visiting with us and you're not a member of the body of Christ, we certainly appreciate your being here. We hope that we'll say some things that will help you see the need to become a member of the body of Christ. Those of us who are members of the body of the church, we hope that the things that we say tonight will be beneficial to us, to help us to continue to live a successful life in Christ. And to those especially who have graduated from high school and is looking to the future and doing other things by continuing their education or doing whatever their future plans are, we hope we'll say some things that will help you as you look toward the future. So we trust that all of us will benefit tonight from a study of the Word of God. In Joshua chapter 1, I want to go tonight to consider some things that are taught there. Verses 6 through 9, Moses is now dead, and Joshua has been given the reign to lead God's people into a successful victory of the promised land. He would have to go in, they would have to go in, and they would have to conquer or drive out the nations that were already there so that they could enjoy that good land that had already been prepared for them. A land that the Bible says that flowed with milk and honey. All of the necessities that they needed were there. But they would have to be a participant in gaining those necessities. And so God said to Joshua in verse number 6, I want to read verse 6 through 9. He says, "Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Verse 9 says, "Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest." Tonight's lesson is entitled, God's Prescription for Success. God's prescription for success. God wants us to be successful in life. And mankind has many ways to measure success. Go to school, get a good education, get a good job, or embark upon a great career. And you'll be a successful person. That's the way many people measure success. Others say that, in combination with what I've already said, that if you are able to obtain a great financial portfolio, you would have become a successful person. And along with that, if you're able to dwell in a nice, comfortable house and maybe have a plush green lawn or some acreage to go along with it, that you would be a great success. And on the list could go as many people would define success. All of those things are successful to some degree, and they are good within themselves, provided that they are gained in an honest way. But that's truly not the measure of what real success is all about. Because the Lord wants us to be successful as His children, so that when all of these things are gone that we've just talked about, when the job is gone, when the house is gone, when the portfolio is no more, and when the world is no more, He wants us to be able to stand before Him in that last and that final reckoning day. He want to be able to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." So there's more then to success than just these material things that we've talked about. While they are fine, again, within themselves, there's more to success than just these things. And that's what I want you to remember, graduates, and that's what I want all of us to remember tonight, that there's more to success than just material things. God wants us to be successful spiritually. And along that line, I hope that all of us can be present this quarter as we, on Wednesday night, that is, as we talk about successful Christian living. God wants us to be a successful Christian. But in the passage that I've shared and reading with you this evening, I believe we can see God's prescription or God's plan for success. He tells Joshua to do certain things, and when those things are accomplished or when they are done as he has told him to do them, he says, "Then thou shalt have good success." Which is to say that if you don't do these things, then you're not going to be successful in my eyesight. You may be successful in man's eyesight, but if we don't do it the way God say do it, we're not going to be successful in His sight. And that's what counts in the last day, whether we have been successful in the sight of God. Look at the scripture again with me. In Joshua chapter 1, in verse number 6, the first part of that verse, he says, "Be strong and of a good courage." That's the first thing that you and I need to have in our lives. We need to be strong and courageous people in order to be successful in the sight of God. Why do we need to be strong and courageous to be successful in the sight of God? For the same reason that God tells Joshua, you need to be strong and successful, rather strong and courageous to conquer this land, because they would have many challenges as they would go up against these nations to drive them out of this land. That would be a great challenge for them. Their forefathers had already succumbed to fear of going into the land. We know the story. We remember the story, I'm sure, in Numbers chapter 13 and 14, when Moses sent the 12 spies out, and they viewed the land, and they came back. Two says, we can take it. The other 10 said, we couldn't. Guess who the crowd listened to? They listened to the majority report. And so they were ready to make captains among them and go back into a land that they had prayed and their fathers had prayed for 400 years to be delivered from. They wanted to go back there, all because they became fearful. They said, these 10 said, we saw them over there. That was that. They were giants. And in our eyesight, we were just like grasshoppers. So we're afraid. We're afraid to go there. Two of them said, yes, we can go. But they listened to the majority report. So as a result, they didn't make it. Joshua made it, yes, and Caleb made it. Well, in life, as we seek to be successful in life in general and successful in our Christian lives, we're going to face some obstacles and some challenges. Just like they had the nations there, we're going to have challenges in our lives. And in order to obtain, in order to overcome the challenges that we're faced with, as you leave this point in your life, graduates, and go on further, and as all of us continue to go on through life's journey, we're going to be constantly faced with challenges. And in order to be victorious over these challenges, we're going to have to be strong people, and we're going to have to be courageous people. We're going to have the attitude that, yes, I can, and I can overcome. Brother Montgomery at the Vacation Bible School passed out two scriptures around the fire there. And he referred to one of them on yesterday in the lesson that he was teaching, 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 4. We got to always remember that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. So in order to be successful, we got to put our teeth, sink our spiritual teeth in that scripture and know that no matter what we are faced with in this life, that if we have Christ in us, if we have God in us, we can be victorious, because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And God wanted Joshua to know that in order to take this land, you're going to have to be strong and you're going to have to be courageous. In times of temptation, we need to be strong and courageous. You're going to face temptations, and all of us from time to time, we face temptations. And in order to get through and get by those temptations in our lives, it takes courage to do that. Because it's easy to go the path of least resistance. In other words, not to do anything, not to fight back or fight off temptation. It's easy to do that. But it takes strength to stand up in the face of temptations, in the face of challenges, and say, no, I'm not going to do it that way. I'm going to do it like God say do it. It takes courage to do that. And that's what being successful in God's sight is all about. In times of despair, we need courage. We need to realize, again, that these challenges are going to come, but we need to get past the challenges. And we have the strength of God dwelling in us through his Spirit to get us past the times of despair. Paul would say it like this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 8. He said, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. The reason why in his perplexity he says, I'm not in despair. And he goes on and says, we're cast down, we're not forsaken. The reason why he had such a positive attitude is because he was looking beyond his perplexities. He was looking beyond his time of despair, and he was looking to what lay in the future. He said it like this in verse 17 of the same chapter. He says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, it worketh for us a far more an exceeding weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, The things which are not seen, they are eternal. In times of weariness, we need to be courageous. We need to be of great courage and keep on charging on, even as you go in your pursuit of even further education or in your pursuit of career. There may be times that you may get weary along the journey, and you may want to give up, and you may want to quit. I want to charge you tonight, don't give up, don't quit, but you keep pressing on. Paul recognized that through the Spirit when he wrote to the Galatian Christians, when he said in Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 9, he says, and let us not do what? Be weary in well-doing. For in due season, he says, we'll reap if we faint not. But if you give up, if you give up on that degree, if you give up on that career, if you give up on living the Christian life, you never reap in due season. So you got to be courageous. You got to be strong. And you got to keep pushing on. You got to say, I can do it. As Paul said again in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, he says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. So the first thing that we need to mix up in that prescription for success is strong, be strong and courageous. But then Joshua also was told in the next verse, verse number 7, he says, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do all according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. So the second thing that we need to realize in God's prescription is that we need to be careful. You need to be careful. All of us need to be careful to obey all of God's commands that he has for us. Don't just obey a few and take shortcuts on others. We need to obey all of God's commandments. He said, do according to all the law. In life, many people take shortcuts, and they have to pay the price many times for taking shortcuts. And certainly, when it comes to obeying God, if we take a shortcut by not obeying all of God's law, we will have to certainly pay the price. I would say to us, if we're going to be successful in God's sight, there are no shortcuts to success. Don't cheat to get ahead. Don't cheat on those final exams and those other exams. Be honest, because after all, the Bible requires us to provide things that are honest in the sight of all men. We talked about integrity in the Vacation Bible School. Your integrity needs to come through as you matriculate in life. All of us need to be people of honesty. We need to have high moral integrity to always do that thing which is right. If you want to be successful, then make sure that you don't take any shortcuts. Make sure that you don't cheat. Out there in the world, many people will mistreat people to try to get ahead. They will climb over people, if you will, to try to get to the top. You heard it said, I'm sure, that the same people that you climb over may be the same people that you fall over coming back down. So don't mistreat people to try to get ahead. Remember what Jesus says in Matthew 7:12, as you would that men do unto you, he says, likewise do unto them. So don't cheat to get ahead. Don't mistreat people to get ahead. All of those things are contrary to God's standards. God wants us to be successful. He wants the best for us. But if the best is going to come, we're going to have to do it God's way. We can't do it our way. God always wants the best for his people. I'm reminded what the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse number 15 and 16. Moses says, as he recites the words of God to God's people, he says, see, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, and his statutes, and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and that the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. God wanted to bless his folks. He wanted the best for his folks. But again, the best would only come if they did it his way. So again, he commands Joshua. He says, be careful there that thou mayest observe all the things according to the law. Not some, but all the things. That's the only way you're going to be successful, is to do it God's way. And talking about commitment, only commitment will keep us on the track that we are to go. So again, I challenge us tonight to be careful to obey all of what God's commands are for us. Then Joshua was told something else in verse number 8. He says, the book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. The third thing that ought to go in this prescription as we mix it up that will be good for our spiritual bodies and our spiritual souls is to saturate yourself in the Word of God. That means to just get the Word of God all in you, all around about you. And that will never happen unless we actually delve into the Word of God and meditate in the Word of God. Think on the Word of God deeply. And it needs to be a continuous thing. It should not be a haphazard thing. Meditate a little here, and then several times, several days later, meditate then, and maybe a month or so later, meditate then. No, he says, do it what? Continuously. Meditate on it, he says, day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is that written therein. For then, you notice the adverb of time? Meaning that if you do this, then this is what will happen. So he says, when you do this, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. And then thou shalt have good success. So I say to us again tonight that we need to saturate ourselves in the Word of God. God's Word needs to be a constant companion in our lives. David thought it necessary when he said in Psalms chapter 1 and verse number 2, he says, and in thy law, on thy law, he says, I meditate day and night. So it's a necessity that we saturate ourselves in the Word of God. Paul was told, our brother Timothy was told by Paul, in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, he was told how he could be approved unto God, and this is what he said. He says, study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So then one needs to study as he meditates in order to gain God's approval. Many people who are, quote, successful in life may not have gained God's approval, but they may have gained man's approval, but that's not the approval that we're seeking for. We want God's approval. And so you need to do it, again, God's way. Paul said to the church at Corinth, 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 18, for not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. Many people may brag on themselves that I've done this, I've gained this, I made it to this point in my life. Well, that bragging will do us no good unless God can brag on us too. So we want God to brag on us and not necessarily man. Because again, if we're looking for man's praises, we get exactly what we're looking for. But we want the praises of God. Paul said it like this when he wrote to the church at Galatians chapter 1 and verse number 10. He said this, or do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? He said, for if I yet seek to please, or if I yet please men, I shall not be the servant of Christ. Now, are we going to serve men or are we going to serve Christ? If you please men, then you're going to have to serve men. Now, understand what I mean. I know in the Christian life we're supposed to serve one another. But in this case, he's talking about serving man that is contrary to the will of God so that man will be pleased. Whenever we serve men, it needs to be according to the will of God. So he says, if I'm seeking to please men so that they'll be pleased, if I'm going to do something that's contrary to the will of God, then I will not be a servant of Christ. So always remember then, as you go forward in life, that whatever you do, you need to do it to please God and not men. Yes, indeed, we need to saturate ourselves in the Word of God. And then, lastly, the last verse I read, he says this, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. God desires and wants to be with us. But God will be with us when we're with him. Now suppose that if Joshua had gone in and led the people in and they did just the opposite of what God told them to do, would they have been successful? No, ma'am, and no, sir. So God being with us, his presence with us, is always conditional if we're going to be blessed spiritually by him. But when we have done it God's way, we can rest assured that God is with us. So rest then in the confidence that God will always be with you when you do it God's way. We may not understand just how it all happens in our lives, but it happens in God's own way and in God's own time. At the end of the day, to know that we have pleased God in our jobs and in our careers and in our educational pursuit, whatever avenue that we take, if we know we'll please God, that's success enough. God wants us to be successful. He wants us to be successful even from a materialistic standpoint, but that success need to be based upon that we have used God's word to guide us in that success. So I say to us tonight, make sure that we use God's prescription. When we follow God's prescription and not our own home remedy, we'll be successful. Sometimes those home remedies may work for the cold. It may work for some other ailment that we have in our lives. But home remedies won't work. Be successful in God's sight. We need God's prescription to be successful. Always do it God's way and never think that we can do it on our own. Keep God with you throughout your pursuit of whatever avenue you go in. Keep God with you. And I close, and I usually do this on the last few occasions that I've delivered the sermon on this particular time for those who have graduated and those who are going forward. I usually tell the story of the man who had a son. And he says, son, you're about to graduate from school now. What you going to do? Because they've talked about that even before then. He says, I want to go off to college. I want to study so that I can become a doctor. The father says, son, that's good, but what then? He says, well, I'll matriculate in medical school, and eventually I'll get out, and hopefully I'll become a practitioner. And I'll be able to help people write out, you know, medicines and prescriptions and all those type of things to help them get better in their lives. Son, that's good, but what then? He says, well, I'll continue to do that, and maybe if I'm good enough, maybe I'll be able to end up in a research lab and be able to come up with a cure for some dreaded disease, and I'll be able to help stamp out some of these dreaded diseases. Father says, son, that's good. But what then? He says, well, I'll try to do that. Hopefully, maybe
until it's time for me to retire. And when I retire, then maybe I'll travel the world. I'll get some of these things off my bucket list. Son, that's good. But what then? He says, well, when I finish doing that, I guess I'll be old then. It'll be time for me to die. Son, that's good. What then? Well, when it's time for me to die, I guess I'll die and go meet God. He said, I thought you was going to say that, but I just wondered, when were you going to mention meeting God? You notice all these things coming up? He never mentioned God. When it's time for him to die, then he mentions God. I'm saying to you, don't wait until it's time for you to die to get the right relationship with God. As you are striving to be successful in life, always keep God with you as you go along the way. And again, do it God's way. Joshua was told, when you do it God's way, then you'll have good success. I hope I've helped you tonight. I hope I've encouraged us all to continue to do it God's way, so that we can not only be materialist successful, so that we can be spiritually successful. If you're here then tonight, and maybe you have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Lord wants you to become one of his children. But you got to do it his way. You don't become God's child your way. You see, you got to do it God's way. God's way is to hear and believe the gospel, Acts 15:7. It's to repent of your past sins, Luke 13:3. It's to confess your faith in Jesus Christ, Romans 10:9-10. It's to go down in a watery grave of baptism for the remission of sin, Acts 2:38. When you do that, the Lord will add you to his church. Become a member of his church and then live out the rest of your life doing it God's way. That's called being faithful. Revelation 2:10 says, be faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life. If you're already a member of the body of Christ, but you realize that you've not been doing it God's way, you've been doing it your own way. You've allowed the devil to distract you. You've gotten off the path of righteousness. You've sinned. I want to encourage you to repent of it. Turn away from it. And if you need to confess, do that tonight. Or maybe you just need prayer to help you along this race. Whatever your need is tonight, while we stand, while we sing, would you come?
Our Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary. To save a wretch like me, his groaning of his precious blood atoning, and I repented of my sin and gained the victory.
Would you come tonight? Would you come? You need to come. Would you come?
My Savior forever, he loved me and taught me.